for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, November the 28th, 2008. Clement Humbard is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Who Knoweth the Spirit of God.
Well, everybody say praise the Lord. I want you to stand with me briefly and just look up. Look up. The Bible said Jesus looked up and He said, Father. So we look up, O Thou Lord of Glory. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am, the Miracle Worker, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright Morning Star. We praise You, we worship and honor and magnify and adore You. Lord, grant us this mercy miracle. Bless these people today. You love them. Bless them. May those everlasting arms of Jehovah God grip each soul here and press them to the bosom of Christ. May we see the invisible, hear the inaudible, touch and feel the intangible. And after everything is said and done, and we leave here, may no man be seen except the Lord in Israel. No voice heard except that still small voice that leads men back to the fold of God. We'll be careful to give Thee the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen. Thank You. Serve the Lord thy God with joy, or serve your enemies. Psalms 110. The Lord said to my Lord, actually it says, Jehovah said to Jehovah. It says Yahweh in the original, said to Yahweh. Brother Clem, that doesn't make sense. I know it does in natural mind, and probably 97% of the so-called Christians in America run around trying to figure God out with the natural mind. 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter said, Who knows the things of God except the Spirit of God? It said, no man. No man. You can't figure the things of God out. Quit trying. Things of God has to be revealed by the Spirit. Read the ministry of Jesus. Time and time they ask Him a natural question. He didn't even answer. He evaded it and lifted a higher plane and a spiritual plane. Yahweh said to my Yahweh, Jehovah said to my Jehovah, sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And then in verse 2, He declares, the Lord shall send the rod of strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. This is very, very important to the message that God laid on my heart at 6 o'clock this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ, where is He? Where is He? He's seated at the right hand of God. When a martyr dies for Christ, he stands up. When they stoned Stephen, he looked up and said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. But normally He's seated at the right hand of God. There are many scriptures confirming this, as you Bible scholars know. And it said, rule in the midst of thy enemies. The enemies are still there in this scenario, but you're ruling in the midst of them. Now, in Ephesians, the first chapter, near the end of the chapter, it speaks that Christ is there seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And Surprisingly, if you're not familiar with these scriptures, we're already seated in heavenly places with Him. We just don't have sense enough to acknowledge it and enough faith to believe it. Now, if you're going to say amen, don't say it weakly. I said this. Oh my, when you open God's Word, there's just so much. I've got to stay focused. But here in Ephesians, the first chapter, just like in Colossians, Paul primarily majored on seven things. Practically everything he said could be brought under these seven heads. Number one, wisdom. Number two, understanding. Number three, counsel. Number four, might. Number five, knowledge. Number six, faith. Number seven, all of them are found right here in Ephesians, the first chapter. And then the seventh is love. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, faith, and love. If you'll go to Isaiah, you don't have to turn now, but Isaiah the 11th chapter, you'll find that the root out of the root of Jesse will come forth a branch, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And those five first spirits that rested on Christ of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, I'll lose some of you now. Well, goodbye. At a national convention of Maranatha with hundreds and hundreds of young people, when I'd get up to speak the afternoon services, all of the ministers get up and go and load up their golf carts, and you could see it from the tabernacle. They never had the respect as their whole week to sit through the afternoon service while I spoke. But God broke out revival among the young people and saved them by the hundreds. And they said they never remember that happened at Maranatha Camp. It wasn't because of me. It is because of the mercy of God. So, here is seven things, and the last two in Isaiah the 11th chapter, and in the Revelation 1:5 through Revelation 5:6, it says several times, the seven spirits before God. The natural man cannot comprehend that the Holy Spirit, the personality of the Holy Spirit, is seven spirits. Doesn't make sense, does it? We're trying to figure out, just believe God's Word, period. Throw your stinking religion away and have an intimate relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. But I've given those spirits, and there it's said in the book of Revelation several times, I think four times, through Revelation 1:5 and Revelation 5:6, the seven spirits before God. It's biblically correct to call the Holy Spirit the seven spirits. Well, Brother Clement, the personal pronoun is used. Well, God, we wouldn't know what God's talking about if He didn't talk some natural things to us. But He tries to lift us immediately from those natural into the spiritual. All right, Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And it said here in Ephesians that He said, verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenlies. There again, Christ is seated in the heavenlies. What about us? Well, He's seated, verse 21, for above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. He has a name above every name. That name is not Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. God gives you in the hereafter a secret name that no one knows except you and God. The angel Gabriel, thou shalt call His name Yeshua, Jesus. And Mary and the angel gave Him that name. In John 17 chapter, He said, Father, He looked up and said, Father, that's the true Lord's Prayer, John 17 chapter. He looked up and said, Father, give me the glory that I had before the foundation of the world, because I've accomplished what You sent me to do. He's yet to go to the cross. that he said this. He quoted Psalms 22:22. I have revealed the name. Listen. I have revealed the name to my brethren. And the other part of that, I'll lead the congregation in praises to God. Everybody knew about Jesus of Nazareth, but the inner circle of the disciples. Jesus had an inner circle, which was Peter, James, and John. Then he had a larger circle, which was the 12. Then he had a larger circle, which was the 70. Then Paul tells in Corinthians, I think 15th chapter, that 500 men saw the risen Savior at once. There's the 500. Well, it's great to be in the 5 million, but the 500 is greater. And then the 70 is more intimate. Then the 12, you're really getting close. And then my Lord, the 3, Peter, James, and John. Peter, a man of action. James, a man of prayer. And John, a man of love. That is the personality with an intimate walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But they get to see the Shekinah glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. The 12 didn't see it. The 3 did. The 70 didn't see it. The 3 did. Oh, Brother Clement, God's no respecter person. He just loves. Yeah, He loves everybody. But in the providential workings of God, everybody doesn't have visitation of angels. Everybody doesn't have visions, or everybody does not become the subject of visions. Many places on earth, I don't send a picture or anything. Someone in the congregation will go to the pastor and say, I never had a vision in my life, but do you believe in visions? And tell every detail of the service, and I've never been there. And weeks later, I fly in on the jet, get a rental car, drive across and make the meetings. They've never seen me before. And every detail of that meeting had already been seen. It's wonderful to have a vision, but it's more wonderful. This dear lady here is from Ramah, and prophetess of God and a lady of God. But in Ramah, up there with Senior Hagin, a few years ago at the big conference, he walked, preached, and he walked out, and he walked down the center aisle. He told the lady, he stopped, and he said, stand up, lady. He said, no, not you, the lady with the white hair next to you. He said, stand. The lady stood. And he said, I see palm trees. Do you live in Florida? She said, yes. He said, I see it's upstairs. She says, yes, in a condominium, big building. Said, get your calendar and mark this down. 1 year from today, your doorbell's going to ring. You'll open the door and you'll see a white-haired man standing there that you've never heard of before, ever seen in your life. And from that moment on, your entire life will be changed. She had been educated in Spain, University of Madrid. She is a classical translator of Spanish. 1 year later, guess what? My wife Frances, little BG, she's smaller. And I rang that lady's doorbell. I'd never heard of her till just a few minutes before. And I needed a Spanish translator. That lady came apart. We didn't know if she ought to pray the prayer of faith or raise the dead or call an ambulance or what. And finally, she got control of herself and went and got a calendar, and it had been marked for 1 year. And she had on that calendar, Dr. Hagin said, 1 year from today. See, you try to figure out everything instead of just walking with God. And people say, and here's the Bible camp, God bless them. They'll say, now get forgiveness. You got that inner. What are you doing by picking up unforgiveness in the first place? Jesus said, offenses will come. But don't pick them up. They're not offense if you don't fool with them. Someone cursed you out for a little one of your relatives, just say, thank you, Lord. You said happy ought to be and joyful. and suffer persecution, and blessed are you. You know what that means? Leap for joy when men say all manner of evil against you. We're little babies in Christ. Oh, they hurt my feelings. Good Lord, grow up. You ought to know who God is and who you are in Christ. So Christ is seated at the right hand of God this very moment. But He does a lot of standing because governments declared that over 100 million documented Christians had been killed for their faith the last few years. Like I said, in the book of Acts, Stephen, the first martyr of the New Testament church, his vision, last words he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, where are we? He's there. Where are we? It speaks that He is in the heavenlies. You and I are people from another world when you're born again and filled with the Spirit. God took on human nature that you and I might take on the divine nature. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Where are we? Every one of us ought to be walking in the heavenlies, living in the heavenlies. That doesn't mean that you don't know day from dark and don't know who you are and you're some goofball coming off of a flake off the wall somewhere. You'll be sober. You'll be diligent. But the Bible said in 2 Peter 1:4, all of the promises. Isn't it great, the promises in God's Word? My dad used to say, when he preached, I don't know, but I've been told, he said, I never count them, but I've been told there's over 3,000 promises in God's Word. It said all of the exceeding great promises of God, Peter said, are that we might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the lust that is in this present world. 1 John, it speaks, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You conquer those and get the divine nature of God, and you'll be living not like in and out and down and out and grubby-mubbing, complaining and bellyaching around. You'll live in the life of Almighty God and the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. If that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:11, dwell in you, it will make alive, quicken your mortal body. I challenge you, if you have to roll out of bed with pain in every joint, I challenge you to get out of bed finally and don't say, someone help me to a rocking chair, and I want my cup of coffee. Stand there and lift your hands if someone has to help you. Say, lift my hands and look up and say, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And start walking in Jesus' name. And say this, thank you, Lord, for letting my eternal spirit come to this earthly life these few years with its good, with its bad, with the blessings and then the difficulties. Thank you, Lord, that you let me come, my eternal spirit, to this earth and then someday return unto God. Wherever the silver cord be loosed or the golden bowl be broken or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Ecclesiastes said, then the dust shall return unto dust. But the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You existed before you ever came to this earth. You'll know it. Every baby that's born already knows who Jesus is. The Bible said, if you hear His voice, if you hadn't heard it before, how would you know it's His voice? If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. All right. He's seated in the heavenlies. I'm in Ephesians. And it said, verse 22, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, so you'll have this very clear from God's Word. Turn to chapter 2, verse 6. He has raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's already done. Not in the sweet by and by, we'll eat pie in the sky. You and I will refuse, I already said, because of doubt and unbelief and all of the carnality and religiosity, we refuse to take the position that God has given us, the body of Christ, in the heavenly places. We are seated with Him in heavenly places right now. You're in heaven to go to heaven. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. I'm going to stop and say amen a few times. I know God's eternal truth when I hear it. In a mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Let's go to Colossians right quickly here, and then we'll move off of this. Colossians, second chapter. Praise God. Try to hold these all in my memory, and sometimes I get a little bit excited. But it is the third chapter. Third chapter, Colossians. Here is another statement. What does it say? If ye then be risen with Christ, what? Who did he address this to? The saints. Chapter 1, verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren who are at Colossae. There's no dead saints or living saints. Christians are called saints in God's Word. And he said here, if ye then be risen with Christ, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, that's Colossians 3:1. Set your mind, your affection on things above and not on things on this earth. For ye are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ your life shall appear, then we also will appear with Him in glory. But the Bible clearly shows that already, now, we are seated in the heavenlies with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy 28. We hear a lot of this scripture. If you come to the camp a few times, you have heard more than one message from Deuteronomy 28. You know, the first part is the blessings. The latter part is the cursing. But I want you to notice verse 46. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for abundance, therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies. It tells us not only here, but also in the book of Joel, it said this, chapter 1, verse 12. The vine is dried up, the fig tree lingereth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree, the apple tree. The trees of the field are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Look in chapter 2. It said, and of course, we always go to Joel and we get way down in there, the Spirit poured out in the last days. But here, he said, now Zion, verse 23, chapter 2, be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord. Here's what God's Word said. If you are not going to serve the Lord God with joy, I know we need faith, we need repentance, we need revival, we need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. We could go through the whole thing, but my message is this. we need maybe all of these things in doctrinal truth, but the Church of Jesus Christ needs joy more than they need anything. And if you'll follow me, I'll prove it by God's Word. Christianity's supposed to be, quote-unquote, a religion of natural joy. The happiest people on earth should be Christians. But all the Christians, the highest they get is like worldly happiness. Good things around them. Oh, I'm happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. All the hell turned loose. Well, I lost my joy. You never had any real, true God's joy. The world has happiness. You get the joy of the Lord, and it has got a thing to do with what you're going through or outside circumstances. It's according to what you have in your heart. And it's what's going on the inside, not the outside. Sure, God can make people happy, but there's a difference in joy and happiness. Now, you and I are going to either right now, Glenn mentioned the millennial age ruling and reigning. This is the test whether we're going to be fit to rule and reign in the hereafter. Do we rule and reign right now, seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus? And it said, this is not eradicating your enemies. It's rule in the midst of your enemies. Now, what enemies do you and I have? God's enemies are our enemies. It's not the Midianites. It's not the Canaanites. It's not Babylon or Syrian today is our main enemy. These are personal things. Number one, sin. Sin is an enemy. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people partially from their sin. No. Either you're saved from sin or you're not saved. I'm so sick and tired of Holy Ghost people making every excuse for sin under the sun. We had more sense than that in the Great Holiness Revival 300 years ago. They'd preach without holiness, no man shall see God, and be ye holy, for I am holy. Dear Brother Hammond in his book said, I don't know it, but he said himself, in their movement of the prophets, over 30% of them were in homosexuality and pornography. Something screwed up somewhere. Either God saves from sin or doesn't. Suppose you... I'm telling you, man can live... Can you live 1 second without sin? With God's help? I'm not talking about in your flesh and you brag. No even wasting time that. We don't know anyone that does that. How many believe you could sit here 1 minute without sinning, deliberately sinning against God? Then an hour? Then a day? Then a week? Then a month? Well, Brother Clem, all of us have imperfections. Listen, the Bible said, he that is righteous even as Christ is righteous. And he that committeth, make a practice of sin, the Bible said, is of the devil. And for this purpose, the Son of God, I'm quoting Scripture, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. One of the works of the devil is sin. Now, how many of you believe Christ is seated at the right hand of God? How many believe in the spiritual we're seated there with him? Well, that's what the Bible says. Well, who is man? The Bible said in Psalms 8 chapter, Hebrews 2nd chapter, it didn't say who is man. I preached a sermon here, who am I, who is man? But it says, what is man? That is Psalms 8 chapter in Hebrews 2nd chapter. It said, what is man? And the Son of Man, that thou did visit him. Thou hast created him a little lower than the gods. And one time here at the camp, I quoted that. I quoted it more than once. But dear Ashley Null came to me, that does research for Cambridge University. And I respect his knowledge of the ancient languages. He said, Clem, the commentators have misled you on that in the original language. He said one place, I said one place, it said, God made man a little lower than the angels. The other place, it said a little lower than the gods, and always, so I wouldn't be criticized, says little g, gods like he. He said, you're mistaken. The original is God made man a little lower than the big G gods. See, in the beginning, he quoted from John, first chapter. But back in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And actually, Elohim, the gods created the heaven and the earth. That's what it said. So, well, I know there's some theological problems, and I'm not trying to create problems to solve them. But let's just hurriedly move along. What is man, or the Son of Man, that thou didst visit him? Thou hast created him a little lower than the gods. Thou hast crowned him with what? Honor and glory. Everybody say it. Thou hast given him dominion over all things. When God made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were crowned with honor and glory. That is the Shekinah glory. Ichabod later, the glory departed. And I don't know why they took the listing of the glory out of the Voices of Glory magazine, but it hasn't been in there, I guess, this year at all. There's no listing for the awesome glory. But it's still over on the book table. God never moved on this earth yet without, first of all, a new revelation. And not what God does, but who God is. Then the Holy Spirit accompanies that revelation to show what God does. 500 years ago, God said, I'm a righteous God, a righteous God. He's always been a righteous God. But the Reformation started, and it wasn't outsiders fighting Roman Catholic Church. It's Catholic priests that started reading the Latin version of the Bible, chained. You had to get special permission, high education, before you could ever touch God's Word for 1,000 years in the Dark Ages. That's Roman Catholicism. But some of them would go in there and read, and they read the book of Romans, which is the constitution of the New Testament Christian church, is the book of Romans. And it said that all of us have sinned and done what? 3:21. Come short of the glory of God. We always leave that off. Everybody's sin. Yeah, and we've come short of the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. God placed man on this earth and gave him glory. That glory manifests itself such that Adam and Eve didn't even wear clothes. The Shekinah glory was light, effervescent light shining out of them. God said that He has heavenly wine that'll make the face shine and that'll make the heart glad, and bread that'll give us strength. It's heavenly manna from above. God created man in His own image. And gave him authority over everything on this earth. Gave him dominion. And here, man lost that dominion. Actually, in Mark 16, chapter verse 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Then he said, these signs shall, not maybe, not perhaps. We cannot claim we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God of glory, God manifest in the flesh, and have no signs a whole lifetime following us. We're frauds. Jesus Himself said, now you believe John 3:16, whosoever believeth shall not perish. Take your Bible and mark the shalls and the shall nots and the wills and will not, and you'll have a theological education of some good basic things in God's Word. Jesus said, and He never told a lie, He's truth personified. He said, these signs will follow these believers. Not the apostles. He said, you go and preach, and these will signs will follow the believers that believe. That's the Christ, the first party speaking, the second party about the third party. Believers, as long as people believe, there should be signs following. When you're born in the kingdom of God, you shouldn't get just barely saved. Man, you ought to believe it, lock, lock, stock, barrel, everything. Man, you ought to be saved, born again, get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit the same hour. You ought to come up, shout, and say, my God can do anything. But we've wasted 500 years since the Reformation. We're preaching to the choir, telling you what God can do. You ought to know that the moment you're saved. Our God is unlimited by time, space, natural law. There's nothing that God cannot do. With God, all things are possible. No, we keep preaching to the choir, trying to pry you up to have a little faith so we get rid of that headache. My God, we ought to be preaching who we are seated in the heavens, who God is and who we are in Christ. Tell the world what God can do. Tell the church who they are and who their God is, that they may become like Him with divine nature of Almighty God. These signs shall, not maybe, follow them. What was it? Here speaks of dominion that God gave man. God created man in His image, gave him dominion over the spiritual world. In my name they'll cast out devils. You shouldn't be running from demons. They ought to be running from you. When you get up there and say, my God, there she is. She's awake again. Let's get out of here. That is spiritual dominion. They shall speak with new tongues. That's spiritual language. They shall take up serpents. That's dominion over the weather and natural kingdom. Animal kingdom. Did you hear it? According to me, that doesn't mean that we get a cage of rattlers here and pick up snakes, prove we're a believer. God gives us some sense. Paul, and the Bible always shows Paul, the viper, bit him. He's supposed to drop dead. You remember out on the island at the shipwreck? He just shook it off in fire and went home preaching. And so, boy, he'll be dead. Another minute. Man, I've never seen that poison work so slow. No. It said it's dominion of the believer. Spiritual world, spiritual language, dominion over the earth. Even he said to rule over the planets, my Lord. All of us know some story, know it firsthand. I know it firsthand. We change weather. Big gospel tent blowing in the middle of a hurricane. There are a handful of us, we saw we was losing things, said, Lord, this is your property. It's in the state of Florida, all of that storm coming off the Gulf. There's a calm. We said, well, thank you, Jesus. Boy, we double-staked. The tent was a half a city block large. We double-staked everything. We said, we don't lose tents. And even a middle, between the stakes, a valley rope that was staked on 56-inch stakes. But we saw he's losing, said, all right, Lord, calm. Newspaper the next day said it's the freakiest thing, 70-something years of weather reporting. They'd never known it. The big storm comes. Then, when it hits town, it breaks in two storms. And it went around. It blew off garages, tops, tore up houses, businesses. It went around, and the newspaper told the very area that went around, and there we were in the middle of a park with the big tent. And that storm, they said, broke in two storms, left this place unharmed. You can go and look up the old newspapers, and unless they sanitized it, because some said that's a miracle of God. Then the storms went together, went on out across the panhandle, and up into one of the other states and played out. See, this is dominion of a believer. Then he said, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Don't mean, well, I got this arsenic and strychnine, I'm going to show I'm a believer. Well, you can do it if you want to. I don't want to be around. I don't want them to see. I'd have no faith for God to raise you from the dead. And incidentally, I picked up a book the other day by Dr. Jack Deere. He was professor of theology in Dallas Theological Seminary. That's enough curl in a pig's tail, isn't it? But it doesn't add weight. And he tells, I think it's on page 23 in his beautiful, large book. He has two of them. One is entitled, Surprised by the Voice of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? The other is Surprised by, I believe it's the Presence of the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, this is great. I know this man. We know each other. Every once in a while at big conferences somewhere, we run across and he comes and we talk. Why? I've never looked him up, but he's all here. Some way we always get together. And he tells about being in Atlanta, Georgia, 1,200. I thought there's 1,100, but there's 1,200 people in the old Moody Tabernacle downtown Atlanta, Georgia. And he said, I stood in fear and trembling before all of my Baptist brethren and others there, mostly ministers, defending miracles today and healings today. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he said, how would you feel? I just got started. And an older gentleman to my right, and he put my name, Clement Humbard, dropped dead on me. They said, if they ever saw a dead man, I was it. Paramedics, medical people, and all. And he said, I don't know. He said, but I was sure scared, and I don't know if some of us prayed the prayer of faith to raise him from the dead or not. He just said, I'm not going to make any claim. I'm not arguing with you, but all I know, God sustained him. You say, well, Brother Clem, tell us someday about your trip when you were dead. God erased everything out of my mind. I don't remember, and I thank God he did. I don't remember a thing. Yeah. But I believe these other stories. I believe Ron Petty's story. I believe, that Evie's story, and I believe the man that comes here. All of them don't have the same experience. You understand? All right. You are either going to serve God with joy, or you're going to be bellyaching and getting delivered the rest of your life, but not truly delivered. Do you hear it? Sin is your enemy. Put your foot on sin. Rule in the midst of thy enemy. Sickness and disease is not of God. In Acts 10:38, it said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You see, God sends sickness to purify people. Really, then, Lord, please make every Christian sick right quickly. You might get a hold of God in a life or death experience or something else, and you open your heart, but God can do that without taking you to the deathbed. I think one of the apostles was killed. I mean, had a natural death. The rest of them were martyrs. Death is not, and listen to this, I have a whole sermon coming on it, but not now. Death is no purifying agent. It'll stop the sinner from sinning, but it didn't bring repentance of his sin. Christians are not purified through death. I've heard Christian funerals. Our dear brother, last Thursday, 2:38 in the afternoon, won his victory over sin. His heart stopped. You've got to win your victory over sin while your heart's beating and you're up walking around in this world. You love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I've already quoted these things, the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's what John wrote in his book. So, sickness and disease. Why did the psalmist say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all is in me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, every one of them, who healeth some of thy diseases. But brother, you've got to sit down and counsel for 2 hours for 47 weeks. We've got to look if there's a generational curse. Let's get back to minister Jesus. He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Be healed. And he just spoke the word. Hey, I don't hear any amens. Then if there's one or two cases out of 100 you've got to deal with, generational curses and all the rest, deal with them. Get them through. And I told you, and I made enemies, but I'm going to tell you again, make more enemies. Read the Gospels. Jesus did not command any believer to pray for the sick. It's not in there. And in Mark 16 chapter, he said they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You'll pray. You'll be a person of prayer. It won't work. You'll be a true believer. And that last dominion there in Mark 16 chapter, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Jesus didn't go say, go pray for the sick, boys. He said, you go and heal the sick, cast out demons and raise the dead. They came back rejoicing, Lord. Demons are even subject to us. Well, you better rejoice because there might be a day that they're not subject to. You better rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? So God gave man dominion. And man lost the dominion. And in Deuteronomy and in Joel, you see in Joel, the scripture I gave you, the natural and the supernatural. Everything that's going on in the natural world is going on in the spiritual world exactly the same, or it's right reverse. I've watched this most of my lifetime. And it said, all of your crops, everything is withered. The vine, the trees, the grain. He says, because joy is withered among the sons of men. It had a spiritual reason. The famine was there. You understand? And here in Deuteronomy, he said, serve the Lord thy God with joy. Next verse said, or you'll be serving your enemies. You're going to serve sin, sickness, disease, demon power, fear, or poverty. Poverty, at least seven things. Put financial blessings really down on the list, not first. Because Americans have grabbed just the money. It needs to get balanced, is what I'm saying. If you've got eyesight, thank God. You're not in poverty, feeling your way around with a cane. You'd walk mobility. You're not being pushed around a wheelchair. You're rich. What would you take for an arm and a leg? What'd you take for your eyes? Money couldn't buy them. So he said, you're going to serve your enemies. So Christianity, we should be filled with joy every day. Well, Brother Clement, that's impossible. No, it's not. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. It says it in Nehemiah, and it also says it in another scripture. The joy of the Lord is our strength. How many have ever gone through great mourning? Mourn, yes. Loss of a loved one or such. Loss of a family. All your friends turn their back on you. All right? You don't need for me to come up and lay hands on you. I'll tell you what you need. It's 51. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion and everlasting joy. Watch. Shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning will flee away. Don't pray for your sorrow and mourning. Get at the root of the problem. We're always dealing with symptoms. Patching up, putting a patch on, putting a patch on. Medical science mostly treats symptoms. They don't treat cause. See, nature cannot stand a vacuum. That's why we have lightning and thunder. Take a regular light bulb, drop it. It makes a noise. Why? When that glass breaks, there's a vacuum. That's a vacuum bulb. You hear something besides glass. You get full of the joy of the Lord, and mourning and sorrow is not in your life. It can't stay there. So, you say, well, brother Clement, this earthly life has a lot of problems and a lot of trouble. I'm just a pilgrim in a weary land, and I just can't have joy. Joy is the only thing that's going to see you through, honey. And the Bible said, and I'll give you the scripture here, lest I forget, it said, give God the sacrifice of praises. How many sort of understand what that is? You're not a hypocrite, but you go and start praising God anyway. Amen? And, yes, and that is well-pleasing unto God. That's what the Bible said. The Bible also said, give God the sacrifice of joy. You don't have a thing to be joyful over, happy over, and the joy of the Lord, but you praise God, hallelujah, glory be to God. And you know, we're human beings, and God placed us with emotion. Did you ever notice somebody has no friends? They're not friendly. If someone says, nobody loves me, find out a little bit. They don't love anybody else. It's true. In psychology, State of Ohio used to take a man and a woman. I know because my musical director and I had to remove him from his Sunday school class and all he's flying all over America. He got involved with a woman. And I said, we've got to have some restoration here. But you know what? He and his wife went for counseling through the courts. They demanded that damn thing. They gave them over to a psychologist and they had to report to the court. Said, now, Jerry, I want you, when you start to fly, leave, take your wife and say, honey, I'll miss you. And he said, I'm no hypocrite. I won't say that. And they said, oh, yes, you will, or Judge so-and-so will know about it. It's law then. And he said, you go through all of the actions of love. And his wife said, I can't allow him to touch me. Well, God's willing to reach someone in the gutter or anything else, and we better take a second thought, second look at it. You know what? They started doing that a week or two, and guess what? They started meaning it. Let me give you two quick little illustrations. A woman just buries her husband. She has two little girls. He's killed in an accident. Dr. J. Harold Smith, that famous Baptist man, knew this personally. He told me. Friends couldn't comfort her. Pastor couldn't comfort her. All her relatives couldn't. Finally, she's at home alone. Funeral's over. Visitor's over. And the two little girls, they said, Mommy, we're going to have a birthday party this week, aren't we? She's going to be 6 years old. Her mother says, oh, no, we can't do that. I'm too hurt. Sit there weeping. Oh, and she came to herself and said, for the girl's sake, I've got to snap out of this. All through the neighborhood, through her sorrow and tears, she said, we'll have a birthday party Friday at the house. She made herself go through that. Time that birthday party was over, she didn't need a year to recover. Boy, she was hitting the high places. You see, it's the only thing that will work. We're emotional human beings, not a hypocrite. But when you're exercising faith and praising God, and I'll give you the greatest praise in God's Word here, but when you're offering God the sacrifice of praise, and then you offer God the sacrifice of joy. I have a friend in California. Her father was a minister, and when the two girls and the little boy was young, I held meetings for him sometimes. God really, really blessed. In fact, I went for a revival. He just started his church. And I had telegrams that day and time and all of this, but I got the invitations and got in the basement and prayed. And when I got to his invitation, it was written on a little 2-cent postcard. The Spirit of God hit me. He said, go to the phone. Tell that fellow you're coming. I said, well, Lord, I've got an invitation here from Kansas City where they have way over 1,000 Sunday school. Success is assured. He said, you go. And you know what? God gave him a complete church in two short weeks. They had the building. I mean, 150, almost 200 people. Now look, but his daughter in California, she's hired in an outfit that every once in a while her boss would call from New York or overseas. And he'd say, "This big shindig that Hollywood's having, I have a reserve ticket for you, and you go and make notes and tell who's what and what happens." So she obeyed her boss, and she gave these reports. She didn't partake of any of their sins or drinking anything, but like a newspaper reporter. And before long, she knew several people by first name in the Hollywood community. You know what they started saying to her? "You're the biggest religious fake we ever saw in our life." She said, "No, I'm sincere with my belief in God." Said, "No, you're not. No one could be happy all the time." That's why they thought she's a hypocrite. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our relatives said, "You're so full of joy all the time, you must be faking it." Yes. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I said Christianity is a religion of natural joy. And the Bible said, "Revive us again, O Lord, that thy people may" what? "Rejoice in thee." You ought to be living in a revival every day of your life. Don't depend outside, depend on inside yourself. The joy of the Lord. If you talk like an invalid, act like an invalid, start walking like an invalid, you know what? We got an invalid on our hand. You start walking and acting like a person of faith and strength the Lord gives you. I told you, go and get out of bed regardless, lift your hands, and if you can walk, start walking with your heel and then roll your foot on your toes and go and take 50 steps praising God, and I'll guarantee you, you can't find one ailment in your body. I've experienced it so many times. And of course, the CAT scan, three young people wept. I didn't know what was happening. They said, "We feel so sorry for you, and you're in here with all..." And I sent him there. I didn't ask for it. "Nuclear tests and all, and we haven't even helped you get up and down and all." And said, "Look over there." And I said, "What?" They said, "See those little lights shining? That is the arthritis that is in your body. And it's so painful, a person can't move." I said, "That's not mine." They said, "Sure it is. Move and we'll show you." I said, "It's still not mine." I said, "Don't weep over me. I don't have a pain in my body." So you start practicing joy and you'll find out it's going to answer in a lot of things, and you won't need to be delivered all the time from little sinful habits, from little migraine headaches, from some little demon chasing you. Many Christians are bound by demons. It can happen. And you won't be fearful all the time. You'll be in dominion over fear. And you won't have poverty of spirit. And isn't it odd? Some of the things so hard to trust God for daily needs. None of us have starved yet, have we? God did it before and kept us going. He can keep us going now. All right? Now, you'll say, "Well, Brother Clem, the old nature." Well, my Bible said, "If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things pass away." You see, it's old flesh. I've told you before, I tell you again, you're fighting the wrong battle. The Bible said in Ephesians 6 chapter, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means your own flesh. You're fighting the wrong battle if you're always fighting the flesh. The Bible said you're not in the flesh if the Spirit of God is in you. Quit double-mouthing. One thing or other's got to be true. You're talking, brag on the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Then the other side of your mouth, oh, I just fight the old flesh all the time. In Romans 8 chapter, go and read the whole chapter. If you're in the flesh, you're not in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, you're not in the flesh. That's what the Bible says. And then, man, the last enemy that is destroyed is what? Death. I heard a little story when I was young. A grandma was knitting in a rocking chair. A little boy ran up, grandson. Said, Grandma, our mule's got religion. She said, uh-huh. Kept doing her crochet and her knitting. So he finally reached up and pulls on her clothes and says, Grandma, Grandma, yeah, run on, play. Our mule's got religion. What? What did you say? Our mule's got religion. The mule had wandered down the lane and come right near the house and standing there. She said, well, to her little grandson, why do you think our mule's got religion? Said, well, he's got a big, long face like Grandpa, and Grandpa's got religion. The joy of the Lord ought to manifest itself in our life. We ought to speak the positive and eliminate all the negatives. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 said, rejoice evermore. Read Philippians 1:3 and 3:1 and 4:40 or 4:4. It said, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. So, if we're disobedient, then how can the Spirit of God rest upon us? How can we have victory? When Christ is going to be born, angelic choir and a light from heaven, and the angels started singing, sorrow to the world, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen? The Bible said that when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, what happened? The babe in the womb leaped for joy of the Holy Spirit. Go to Galatians 5th chapter and it speaks of the word 5:19. It says the works of the flesh. Now notice, flesh are works. Now keep reading. All of those abominable things there. Galatians 5:19. Keep reading. The fruit of the Spirit is, it's not doing, it's being. It is love. Second one, it says what? Joy. Third, peace. Then it lists six others. I am a fake and a false thing if I claim, boy, I've got the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost? Bless God, I got the Holy Ghost. And I have no love, no joy, no peace. I am 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not divine love of God, I'm sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. I'm a big fake. Don't tell me about the Holy Spirit anointing on your life. Show me the love of Christ. Live the love of Christ. Show me the joy of the Lord that you inspire other people to get happy and joyful in the Lord. And show me the peace that passeth all understanding. And the Bible said, you know, in love against such, there is no love. So rejoice always. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's what the Word of God said. The kingdom of God. And the Bible said in 1 Peter 1:8, joy unspeakable and full of glory. My Lord. So much joy. You ought not just mention it. Someone say, well, you seem happy today. You must have got a raise. The joy is so should overflow you and fill you and overflow till it's just unspeakable. You say, well, hallelujah, praise God. Well, tell me about it. I just don't have the words to tell you about it. I'm so happy about it and full of the joy of the Lord. Yes. The Bible said Philip went down to Samaria and there's great joy in that city. Where God is there in earnest and Emmanuel is there, and where people are saved and born again, filled with the Spirit, if there's not joy, we're missing it someplace. I didn't say they, I said we are missing it someplace. The next person that says, I'm so weak, pray for me for healing. Say, no, I'm going to pray that Nehemiah and another scripture says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to ask God to fill you with the joy and you'll dance all over the place and feel like running through a troop like David and leaping over a wall. And those that wait upon God, that's to serve God. When we're either going to serve God with joy, our whole lifetime we're going to be belly aching, moaning and groaning over these enemies that we're supposed to be seated in the heavenlies and ruling over them right now. They're not, in God's time, they haven't been eradicated yet. But we can rule over, make them inactive. And even Jesus, the Bible said that He eradicated death. He done away with it, abolished. Death's not going to be destroyed. Death has already been destroyed in Christ. It has. Someday death and hell will be cast in the lake of fire. But death has already been eradicated. And you, Jesus, you say, well, how can you be happy when everything goes wrong? Anybody can act as cutie little sweetie Christian when everything is going right. But if we'll press in, take our position with Christ, we'll be just as happy when all hell turns loose and everything goes wrong. Brother, I couldn't do that. Well, get in the Spirit and you can. Get in the Word and you can. Get out of self into God. Someone a week or two ago, and thank God I no longer got to Florida a few weeks ago and God started sending people in. When I'm here in Hot Springs, people come from several states usually every week. Most of them I never heard of them before. And God lets me minister to one, two, three. Usually it's three or four. I've seen ministers. It's not because of me, but it's because of their hunger and thirst after righteousness. I've seen them lift their hands before they leave. Sometimes they stay one day. Sometimes they stay three or four. One fella flew in a private jet with his wife. He even lifted his hand and said, thank you, Father. This is the happiest day or days of my life. Same thing down in Florida. Every one of us ought to be ministers, ministering for God right now. I don't ask you to give me $1 million that I can go and win 1 million souls. I say you get a hold of God, obey the call of God on your life, and let 1 million people win a soul in 1 year. And brother, we've got 1 million souls, and we haven't had any big shot, and we didn't raise any money. I know there's got to be a balance in everything, but we've gone overboard. Help me this year win 1 million souls. Now send $77. Don't you hate merchandising in the kingdom of God? We're to rejoice always. The Spirit of God. Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. And I want my joy to remain in you. And I'm talking about excessive enthusiasm. I'm talking about uncritical devotion. Boy, their team. They put a flag on their car. They paint their faces. They go 100,000. Sometimes pay $400 for a ticket. 100,000 yell in a stadium and scream. Sometimes they pass out. I was in Cleveland. Someone called me and said, meet at a restaurant. And I got there and we ate. And they said, we've got tickets. We're going to Cleveland to see the Cleveland Browns. Well, I said, no, I'll just go. No, no, no. We've already got your ticket. Come with us. When the Cleveland Browns made a touchdown, oh, beer was flowing down in the balcony of the stadium. They'd spill so much beer. It's true. You get up and walk through it. But this guy is so excited, he ran to the balcony and got like this and jumped over and held the rail, and there's nothing more seats down about 50 feet. He is 4 or 5 stories high. And he's screaming and yelling. And everybody says, he's a football fan. But they go to church and someone says, amen, hallelujah. They say, oh, those crazy religious fanatics. I'll never go back there again. We got a hold of the only thing on earth, really. My dad always said he couldn't understand. 22 men out on the field chasing a bag of air up and down the football field and everybody going wild. Let's get excited. Let's have uncritical devotion and excessive enthusiasm about the things of God. Well, I mentioned slightly about persecution. And Jesus said, happy, joyful are you when all men revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil. What does that do? If you get seated with Christ in the heavenlies and set your mind on things, that enhances and increases your joy. My dad was taken out of Judge Sony, Arkansas. It made national news 2 generations ago and beat. They threatened to hand for just for preaching. A mob got him, drunken mob, and started to hang him on a tree and then started tying him on the Missouri Pacific Railroad and took him over and beat him to blood running in his shoes and threatened him, said, get out of town or we'll kill you. Well, I don't know if any of them suffered directly for Christ or not. It's some of the sweetest heavenly aroma. I don't mean just with smell. That's used there too. I've been beat up. I've been shot at. Mostly right here in America. Even say like that. Oh yeah. Millionaire I never saw before in my life. And he had, I understand, 800 and something. His family, they lived in a big beach house. I never heard of him. He didn't like the way I preached that Sunday afternoon in a big auditorium. He came and got me and twisted. I thought there was a murder with the family. Led me out of the building, or out of the auditorium, across the lobby, into an office. But I wondered why, when he's holding on me, he locked the door. They beat me to a pulp. I didn't know another woman was in the room, portly woman. And she came and said, son, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't hit the preacher. He turned around and hit his own mother, knocked her all the way over that big divan, and she hit the floor on the other side, demon possessed. You say, oh boy, they had a special ministerial meeting. I wasn't going to tell anybody. And all the rest wanted publicity off of it, not me. That fellow offered crocodile tears before a room full of ministers, and I got up and I said, Mr. Huey, you can take your money and go to hell. That's what Peter said. Your money perish with me. Boy, the ministers are shocked. But I never sued him. I've had this happen time and time again. Get out of the pulpit and a demon-possessed person usually comes from behind. You can't even say, in Jesus' name. You don't have time. You say, in Jesus' name, getting yourself up. And usually they'll freeze. They can't hit you again. But I want to tell you, to suffer in your body for Christ. Paul said, I bear the marks of Jesus Christ. Physical abuse is one of the sweetest things. You wouldn't take $1 million for the experience, but you wouldn't give $1 to go through it again. But here it is. And Jesus said, rejoice, be happy when all men turn against you. Someone is telling me your time is all up. All right. Well, the source of a joy is God. He's our exceeding joy. The Word of God. And in God's presence there is joy. And in our salvation, Psalm 61 is joy. And in healing and miracles there's joy. And with the Holy Spirit there is, I've mentioned that, is joy. And according to the measure of the Holy Spirit that God gives us. Now here is that statement that I was going to give you. And I hope this has been beneficial to someone here. Our obligation. And you can go in your whole lifetime and you'll struggle. But if you'll become partaker of the divine nature and realize your position in Christ is already seated in the heavens, and if you'll get filled with the joy of the Lord, it's going to see you through the other things of becoming a mature Christian and all of this in its own time to take place. I cannot overemphasize this. Serve the Lord thy God with joyfulness, or the Word of God said, serve your enemies. What you going to do? Kneel that sacrifice of praise. And here is the greatest statement of faith probably in God's Word. Habakkuk, 3rd chapter. Although the fig tree, verse 17, shall not blossom, neither fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there will be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He'll make my feet like hinds' feet in high places, where it's the heavenly places, seated with Jesus, and make me walk upon the high places. Yes, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and offer Him the sacrifice of joy. God bless. Can you stand with me? How many believe I've tried to preach you the truth? How many believe the truth that I've told you? The Bible said, give earnest heed lest we let it slip. Don't let it slip. Follow it up with your own study and so forth. All right, come on. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And for this food, in Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.